Hello, everybody, and welcome to Strip Search, the comic strip podcast with Peter Chianca, that's me, and my partner, Dave London. We have something very special today. We have our very first remote live podcast, which we are taping at the Boston Kids Comics Fest, which took place Saturday, April 28th in Jamaica Plain, and it was a spectacular event. I'm talking to you after the fact, recording this introduction, to just let you know we were there with our mics and a slew of guests who are sitting down talking to us about why they were there, about comic books, graphic novels, comic strips, about being an aspiring cartoonist. We talked to some young people who were very animate about the importance of comics and comics art. So it was a great day, and we have a lot of audio to share with you. Some of it, we had a few technical difficulties, this being our very first live remote, so you may have to turn up your volume a little bit, especially towards the end when we spotlight some remote sound that we took walking around the very loud hall. But I think it's all listenable and all understandable, so stay tuned and take that in. I think you're really going to enjoy hearing what the folks had to say to me and my partner, Dave London. First, I wanted to mention, before we get into that, that Comic Strip Cartoonist magazine, one of our partners in crime, has its new issue out, and it is spectacular as always. You could find out about that at comicartspress.com or on our website, petpeevescomic.com/podcast. But without further ado, I would now like to take you to the Boston Kids Comics Fest. Stay tuned.
The noise you hear in the background is in fact the very large crowd at the Boston Kids Comic Fest. Pete and I will be interviewing various cartoonists and other exhibitors who will be coming by our table, and we will describe for you who they are and what they're doing, and bring you to this exhibit as best we can through our podcast.
That's right. All right, have a seat, Dave. Hello, everyone. This is just an unbelievable event we have here. We interviewed a few weeks ago Jonathan Todd, who will probably be by. He's a local cartoonist and illustrator. And about this, planning this event, which is the first one ever, and as you can tell by the noise in the background, it is a huge success. People, I mean, this is unbelievable.
There must be 80,000 people here. We are very happy to see the success of this event, and it's geared to kids 6 and up, I think, is sort of the...
six to twelve, you know, in terms of the content, but they also want educators, they want parents here, and you know, it's just looking like a lot of fun, and we're going to take a look around and bring our equipment around so you can get some sound and get some pictures if you're watching us on Facebook Live. To sort of see how it's going, but this is like, you know, whenever we were kids, I don't just remember anything like this.
No, back in the Stone Age, I don't think we had things. We had Star Trek conventions, I think.
I didn't go to any of the Star Trek.
Well, you did
as a kid. Well, but I was a grown man. That's a different story. When I was a kid, we had nothing. My father brought us to. I see two special guests who just came in. Come over here and tell Dave your name and your...
Have a seat.
You guys could share
this.
This is
the microphone right here.
Okay.
So just because of the sound in the room, we're going to have you guys sit here with the microphone. Okay, so tell us who you are, your name.
My name's Rosemary.
All right, Rosemary.
I'm Ileana.
And where are you guys from?
We're from Natick.
Okay, and what brought you to this comic convention?
We've done this... done this like comic book class, I guess like film class at the Bacon History Library in Natick, and for like 2 years now, so we're told to
I think this might help.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess a professional microphone.
You can do a song if you want too. You want to do a song? No? All
right, go on.
Because our comics are so it's like we have like different volumes. Mm-hmm. So the first Yeah,
do you have a sample? Did you bring it?
Rosemary does.
You gotta pull it out and show us.
So basically,
can you hold it for me?
So basically, we take about, so take it for September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So about 8 months, and we came up with ideas, and our teacher taught us how to draw.
I'm just going to describe for the listeners. So what I'm looking at is a magazine called Crazy Comics Volume 2, which is excellent, fantastic. The cover and the pages are in color, and there are a bunch of comic strips. And so Rosemary, this is yours, right? On page 30. So I'm going to flip to that one.
So homework, lucky them.
You're talking about school homework.
Yes.
That takes up time. What grade are you guys in?
Seven, so
13. Oh, that's a lot of work in seventh grade.
Yes. Apparently, there's the most work in seventh grade, so, you know, that's great. And
college is easier, don't worry.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you. That's inspirational. I was kind of stuck, and I had to do this in, like, a week, I think, but...
What is it, like, dark?
Yeah.
Dystopian.
That's good.
Like, dystopian and, like, action.
Ooh, I like dystopian. Together. Like, give me like a dystopian TV show you like. What's something you guys watch?
Everybody in our grade watches Stranger Things.
Oh yeah.
Stranger Things. Yup. I don't watch it, but I read a lot of. I'm in the middle of reading like. Like I just started reading Pet Cemetery by Stephen King.
Okay, well there you go.
Oh, that's super scary.
Yeah, that is. That's.
I like. Horror.
That's dark stuff.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
No. I probably will.
That's a good one.
I don't like watching horror movies because, you know, that just like locked into my brain. But I like reading scary stuff.
What do you like reading?
It's not like really dystopian. I have to go to Japan. Probably not.
Gotcha.
Even I know. I'm not a manga maniac, but I still know it. I don't know. What are some of the classics? What?
I'm a total weeaboo.
Yes, you're a weeaboo. I'm not a weeaboo, I'm just Japanese already. What are some classics? You love Adventure Time.
Adventure Time?
Yep.
I think the Adventure Time
is yeah, yeah, it's so just, you were looking through it, it's like, oh my god, I want this and that and this and that.
Yep.
What are like other ones that are like classics? Didn't you have an obsession over, what was it called? Like last year, you were obsessed with something. It was a graphic novel you were reading for the whole time.
Let's do this. We won't hold you. You guys can think about it. Swing.
Amulet.
Well, that's a good one. We'll give you guys time to walk around, check out some other things, and any workshops you guys want to go to. Feel free to swing by later.
Okay.
And if you come up with any ideas, let us know. We both appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alright, we are back with Zachary Clementi, one of our many guests we're having here today at the Boston Kids Comic Fest. And as you could hear, it's a lively atmosphere here. People are literally streaming in through the front door. I don't know, that's probably not the right use of literally.
Beaming,
I don't know.
They're definitely walking in.
Yeah, they're walking in.
In large numbers.
Yeah.
So, Zachary, tell us about what you're doing here.
Sure. So, I was brought on by Jonathan to be part of the organizational committee a couple months ago to do mostly programming. So, I'm a programs coordinator, putting the panels together, organizing them, make sure they run. He picked me up because I help run MICE, which is the Massachusetts Independent Comics Expo, which is kind of like the big brother or big sister to this show. Actually, a number of the committee are here. Dan Mazur, Shelley Paroline, they're within spitting distance of us right now, and they're part of the committee as well, as is Jordan Stillman. So a bunch of us are here. It's really, you know, that's sort of what I'm here for. Mostly I've been gophering around, making sure everyone's good, making sure everyone's eating and drinking, because a lot of people haven't done a show like this before, so they need to, they sort of don't know what it's like
not
to
alcohol.
Be... Oh, okay, yeah, drinking water, you know, saying
stay hydrated,
say, like, you know, make sure they're snacking, make sure they're eating, all that good stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a really wonderful turnout. We weren't sure what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've never done a show in JP. Like, we marketed very specifically to, like schools and libraries, so we weren't sure how that would work. It's been great, obviously. Like, really, really good.
Yeah. That's terrific. And you got a nice day, probably the first one all month.
It's a beautiful day, like, you know. Dear listener at home, it's a gorgeous day out. It's really nice. Yeah.
So since we're doing a cartooning podcast,
sure.
I always have to ask people some of their favorite.
This is this manga called Bride Story. really wonderful. It takes place in 19th century Silk Road, Western Asia, Russia border. She has like some of the most impressive inking I've ever seen. Like, it's really luscious, really, really gorgeous stuff. She basically saw, she loves period piece stuff. She did sort of Victorian era dramas before, and then she saw some really intricately designed, handcrafted like rugs and tapestries from that era. And she's like, oh, that's really hard to draw. I'm going to do a lot of that. And it stuck with it. And it's been really wonderful. It follows a bunch of really great storylines. It's a really great sort of like slightly older YA book, but it's a good, like, the first three volumes are great for kids who are like 14. And then as they get older with the series, they get sort of more challenged.
It sort of matures with
it matures with them. Yeah, yeah. It's a really excellent read. I love her work. Like, I've gone on YouTube and found she'll do like traditional pencils to inks to like Zip-A-Tone. She'll actually like cut it out, put it on, and start scraping. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
I mean,
most manga now uses digital or they sort of like have workarounds, but she goes whole hog. Old yeah, old school. It's amazing. And she's like not even that old, so it's cool that she's respecting
she's
that.
She's not old like us.
I think
when we started Zip-A-Tone, yeah, it was right, because that right, was yeah, the yeah, only
yeah,
option.
Yeah, yeah, but no, but like, you know, it's cool seeing her sort of flex on that. And it'd be cool to ever get her out to North America.
So she's where?
She's in Japan. Okay. Yeah, she's Japanese.
I mean, and like you say, it's great for that age level. We've talked to a lot of the cartoonists and illustrators.
Yeah.
We've talked about sort of reluctant readers, particularly boys.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, maybe they're not into reading a full novel.
Sure,
you know,
sure, yeah.
That, you know, when they're in their early teens or even a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But this is something that'll attract them and, you know, really, you know, sort of start them on a path to reading.
That's honestly where I've had a lot of luck. Like, I have cousins who are younger. Or, like, nephews who are younger, and, like, maybe they're 14, 15. They're really into certain sports. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sports manga out there. So one of my cousins, Dylan, super into basketball, wasn't reading at all. And I bought him the first few volumes of Slam Dunk, which is a classic 80s to 90s basketball manga. And he devoured it. Mm-hmm. He's, like, begging for more. Thankfully, it's long. So I can dole it out over years.
Yeah. Actually, my kids love manga. They'll be here, and I can ask them, but they've been reading some series.
Oh, cool.
On and on, and I couldn't.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
they tend to go real long, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another cartoonist I'm really into, more contemporary and in the West, this woman by the name Rosemary Valero O'Connell. She's a friend of mine. And recently she's Eisner nominated for this book. It's a book that came out from an indie publisher in the UK called Shortbox, called What Is Left. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous 24-page full-color illustrated short. And it is just lusciously well done. It follows this really excellent sci-fi conceit, but it really goes into the humanity side of it and really focuses down on personal experience. It's
you don't have it here, would you?
No, I don't. It's at home. I accidentally have two copies. We had her at MICE last year. She was an exhibitor, and I run this program there called The Cartoonarium, which we have like hour-long sort of drawing sessions. People can ask some questions, and I'll do little interviews with them while I'm at it. And Rosemary's was great. She was just doing like a head sketch, but... her approach to finding people through cartooning, finding like they doing just like even if just doing like a three quarters like bust, it's like excavation watching her work. It's really incredible. It's very very careful, very detailed, very loving, and I really love her work for that.
Yeah,
she has a second book coming out with Mariko Tamaki, I think next year, called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. So keep your eyes out for that one.
I like the title.
Yeah, it's good. It's very evocative. Yeah, it's gonna be cool. I love her work dearly, and
excellent.
Yeah,
I'm an artist as well.
I'm a writer. Yeah. So not much yet. I've done a few self-published shorts that have been like people have liked them, but I've never really spent the time and effort to really try to push them hard. I will actually be tabling for my own work for the first time this year, so I'm excited about that. And I'm working on like
yourself a club. What are you gonna do?
So I'll be at Thought Bubble in Leeds, UK. So a little far away.
We have an international.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'll be there.
We'll have to take our private jet.
So I'll have my three independent shorts: Immolation, Petrichor, and Remnants. All like sort of sci-fi vignettes that I've worked on different artists with. And I should have a couple things. I should have a preview for a graphic novel pitch I'm doing with a friend. Called Solo Queue, which is like if you're familiar at all with esports, which is like competitive video gaming. So it's like you take the shonen sports manga style, so like really excited, really impressionable, like kids doing things they love, and then instead of like sports, it's video games. And then I should have a preview short for a Kickstarter for the next mini I'm working on with a friend.
Well, I'll ask you then just about your work process, because we're a writer.
Sure.
Team.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So do you have, is it sort of a two rooms kind of thing where you sit and do the writing?
Yeah.
Send it to the artist, or more of a collaborative?
It depends. Like, I like truncating, sectioning things off. So depending on the work, so like for these minis, I have a pretty strong idea of what I'm looking for. And I'll tend to work with people who end up being friends.
Yeah.
But I want, when I choose to work with them, I'm choosing to work with their catalog. I'm choosing to work with what they've done. So I know there are going to be concessions and or like iterations of things that I never would have thought of and maybe aren't what I want, but they are what I want because I want to work with this person.
Yeah.
So the scripting process, typically I end up rewriting the script for them.
Yeah.
So if they don't want panels, I'll rewrite in like more Marvel style, like just like a single page of stuff. Or I'll write like just an outline. It depends on what they want to do.
Right.
I'm always open to their response because
the
I chose to work with them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's things that you could never have.
Yeah. All of my artists have like stupid pictures of me doing poses to like try to explain what I'm trying to go for at a panel.
Yeah.
I think the most successful thing as a writer I've learned is my script is going to be read by like 5 people. It doesn't have to be good looking.
Yeah.
It has to be correct.
Yeah.
It needs to be the best iteration of what I want to see possible, because it's only going to go sideways from there.
Right.
So it needs to be like a recipe.
Right.
Or like a technical document. Like I don't... One of the things I learned from some friends is I don't like describe things in my script. I don't describe what people look like. I don't describe scenes. I have a secondary document so they can refer to it instead of like, oh, where was that thing described? It's on this page, and they break their flow.
Yeah.
I want them to go through the script and like see it as they go and start building out the thumbnails from read one.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I try to do a lot of extra like a little bits of labor to make sure it's easiest for them to see the comic visually done in their head the first time they read the script.
Yeah. Do you see them in your head the first time you read my script?
Well, he gives me, it's like stage direction.
Oh, okay.
The script, it's in,
it's almost like
who's speaking, you know,
yeah, yeah.
The caption, but then with the, in the parens, like the setup. And so I think we usually end the page. Sometimes you'll give me comments like I did something that you weren't envisioning and we'll change it, but I think we're pretty on
Do you follow like TV scripting style a little bit or?
Pretty.
Oh yeah, I super don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for 3 or 4 panel strips,
sure.
It just makes the most sense.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
But if you're doing more of a graphic novel...
Yeah, I'm going for, like, anywhere between 5 and 7 panels a page.
Right.
That's my
so
sweet spot.
Need, it's got to be, I think you have to give the artist a little more, you know, leeway.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of...
Sure, yeah, no, I'm going for more of, like, most of my comics are printed at 7.5 by 5.5, which is, like, a Manga Digest size. Yeah.
Well, Zachary, thank you so much.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure. Yeah, no, great.
It's great.
Absolutely, yeah. Great nice meeting you.
Good luck with the rest of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. Tomorrow I fly to Toronto to help with Decaf for 2 weeks.
Ah, excellent.
So I'm going to be boozy.
All right. All right.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the show. Hope you find some great people to talk to.
Thank you. All right, we will be right back. All right, we're here with one of our special guests today, Anson Richmond. Anson, where are you from?
I'm from Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Oh, Wellesley. Terby's beautiful out there. And what brought you here to the Boston Kids Comics Fest today?
I really like comics of all kinds. I like graphic novels, I like comic books, and I like comic strips. And I just really like comics.
All right, we're going to have to go through some of those. What are your favorite comic books, first of all? I was a big comic book fan in my youth.
I actually don't read that many comic books. But my favorite comic book is Lumberjanes.
Oh, I've seen that. It looks like
it's excellent.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, and it has a lot of action
funny.
In it. And what about... What about comic strips?
Comic strips. My favorite comic strip is Foxtrot.
Oh, nice. We love Foxtrot. And he's been around a long time.
Oh, yeah. Maybe too long.
Well, he doesn't do that many new ones anymore.
Just Sundays.
Yeah.
But I can remember when Foxtrot started. You probably do too.
I read the first book compilation.
Yeah, I remember going out and buying it and actually the strip that we do is if I had to pick a strip, it's most similar to it's probably Foxtrot. It's about a family. Although ours are dogs, but other than that, it's very very similar.
I mean, talking animals, humans. In comic strips, it's not that different.
No, you're absolutely right. That was our attitude, exactly.
And it's fun to draw.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do any drawing, or are you more of a fan?
I'm more of a fan, but I do a little bit of art of various kinds.
Uh-huh, what kind?
Mostly doodling, but I take an art class.
Where?
In Needham. Art in Needham.
Yeah.
No, that's the name of the place. It's great.
Oh, well, that's an easy, it's easy to remember. All you gotta do is remember what it is and where it is, and you got the name.
Yep.
So, now, as you've been walking around this room that we're in today, were there any particular exhibitors or artists that piqued your interest?
Yeah, there were.
Which ones would you say?
Something
jumped out at you, something you liked that you didn't know before, something that like you know, came across.
I think probably the person, I forget what his name was, who was drawing the spaceships.
Oh yeah?
The spaceships were incredible.
All right, we're gonna have to take a walk around and find.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a walk around. You have
he was Gerald Dye.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, they got a terrific collection of illustrators and cartoonists here today. It's quite a collection of people.
Definitely. Oh. And obviously comic sellers.
They want to make a few bucks too while they're here.
Definitely.
They do. Yeah, they do. I think you're absolutely right.
So, are you having fun here? Did you pleasantly
surprise?
Definitely. Yeah. You're here with your brother, right?
Yep, I'm here with my brother and my mom, who's on the panel. One of the panels.
Which panel was your mom on? Did you pay attention?
Which comic should I read panel, I think.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
So they had an entire panel just on which comics you should read. Not anyone else, just you.
Nope.
Right? Oh, it's for other people
No,
too?
It was everybody.
Oh, okay. Right. That makes more sense.
Definitely.
Do you have anything else you want to say to the listeners out there? We have, I must be like 5-6 million people who listen to our podcast.
It's great to be here, and that's kind of it. I don't have anything else
Very
to say.
Very happy to meet you and have you here.
Very happy to meet you and have myself here.
All right. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Thanks for being a guest.
No problem. Thank
All
you.
All right. We'll be right back with more from the Boston Kids Comic Fest. Okay, we're back at the Boston Kids Comics Fest, and we just have had a litany of guests coming through here. It's more than we know what to do with, and we wanted to talk now to our friend Jersey, who just sat down, as he wanted to talk a little bit about sort of what he's doing here and what he enjoys. Well, why don't you tell him? You can just dive right in.
Hi, I'm Jersey. I'm basically volunteering here, but I just want to tell everyone like a very cool art method that you can kind of teach yourself how to draw. It's very cool. Basically, it's called the grid method, and you can measure boxes and just draw basically a grid over the picture that you want to copy, and then draw your own grid, and then just copy the picture piece by piece, almost like a puzzle.
Right. So whatever's in the top left, let's say it's a picture of the sun as you have here, on
yes.
an other clean piece of paper, you draw that in the top left box.
Yes, exactly. And piece by piece, just like a puzzle.
That reminds me of when I was a kid, I had a book called How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. I don't know if you remember this.
It was
very similar. Where it would show, in that case, I think it would be, the Hulk start with circles, and they would have you draw a certain circle. Yeah. And in some cases, it was very much like this, where you would draw the quadrants. And even for people like me, with very, very little drawing ability, could actually come up with something that, mom could put on the refrigerator or that you could hang on the wall.
And before we started actually interviewing Jersey in the podcast, he and I were talking, and we were saying how you could also use this technique to take a small drawing on a piece of paper and turn it into a much larger piece. Like if you're doing a mural on a large wall and you wanted the spacing to be correct, you could draw your guidelines on the wall and do the boxes one by one, and at the end of the day, you have a big picture.
I've often wondered about that as somebody without an art background. When you see, something that takes up a wall or the side of a building, how do they go about, and I think that you're probably right. It's a little bit at a time mapped out from, a much smaller drawing.
Yeah.
I remember Dave and I go back a long way. I remember one of our college dorm common rooms wound up with a life-size Bloom County drawing.
Not just Bloom County, but a bunch of cartoons.
Yeah, they made us paint over them at the end of the year. So
I was irate when they made us paint it over.
Very upsetting.
Spent hours on that.
But yes, that must have started smaller and you worked your way up.
So what materials are you using to do the original?
Well, basically a ruler, a pencil, and you'll have like a picture that, is something that you want to draw, something that someone's passionate about, is a great way to start learning how to draw. And then you can just measure off inch by inch and just draw little boxes over the picture, and then have another picture with, you use the same thing, a ruler, a pencil, measure off inch by inch boxes, and then just copy it with a puzzle, like a puzzle, yes. And if you mess up, you have the eraser as well.
Now something, and this is something maybe people don't think about, even with the ruler though, you got to make sure that all the horizontal lines or even all the vertical lines are even. So when you move the ruler, you got to make sure you're keeping it uniform. So do you do something to make sure that works?
Yes, that is a very good question. Yes, you can kind of just lay the ruler out and measure the top, say, so mark at 1 inch, mark at 2 inch, mark at 3 inch, all the way down for the picture. Then bring the same ruler to the bottom, mark 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, and just so it's all lined up. Then you'll go to the each vertical, 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, and then just connect all the lines that way too, so the lines are straight.
You're basically doing your dots on the edges that then you're going to connect with lines.
Yes. So it lines up. Yes, and even still, even if the lines are a little not even, or if they're a little crooked or not perfect, don't worry about it. You can still just do it, and you'll get a feel for how the drawing process works. So it's sometimes it's not about being perfect, especially at the first time or really ever. It's just about just getting a feel for the depth, like how it feels for a mountain to be in front of a tree, and this grid method really gives you that.
Excellent. Now. Because we're at a comic convention, other than technique itself, I've been asking everybody, who are some different cartoonists or comic book artists or strips that people like to read? Do you have any particulars that you like?
I really like, I just like looking at a lot of the pictures. Like, I really like the Hulk, and just because I can just see all the muscles and stuff like that. And just, you know, Spider-Man has like a different kind of flow to him. He's very like slender and stuff like that. And each comic book artist, I mean, I don't really know all their names. But, you know, you'll have the Incredible Hulk in, like, six different artists will draw it, so it's a little bit different. So then one person made, like, one drawing of the Hulk and not, like, the other.
Are you a fan of the Marvel movies?
I've watched some of them. I haven't watched too many movies.
Dave, no Infinity War spoilers. He saw it last night. I've seen it tomorrow.
Right when the movies came, he just comes charging
in. No spoilers allowed.
Okay, we're doing a little bit of a remote sound, as they say, Dave. We're walking around the Boston Kids Comics Fest, and right now we are at the Young Artist Table, where we have some actual young artists who are drawing and even selling some of their work here. And we have a very special guest who's going to talk to us about it.
You are?
This is Hallie, although I'm going to be the face girl today. I'm all dressed up in Zeta costume because she rocks the universe.
Yes, we're definitely going to get a picture of that to post with the podcast, because you have to see it to believe it, as they say. How has it gone so far?
This has been the most exciting day. It's so inspiring. I'm like right at the entrance to the festival of the exhibit hall, and I have just seen a stream of people come in all day long. I've been here since 8:30 in the morning. When doors opened at 10, there's just been like person after person. So exciting. I know people came from Vermont, they came from Western Mass, they came from, I teach at a men's school, came out from Concord, Sudbury area, people from Boston. It's so exciting.
For a first event like this, you never know what you're going to get. The fact that it's been so successful. Would you girls mind telling us a little bit about the art that you're working on? What's your name?
Millie.
And Millie, what were you just drawing just now?
I'm making like mini comic books.
That's awesome. Tell us about them. Are they stories?
They're sort of
That's okay. That sounds great. Because they're drawing, there's stories, and there's also just fun drawings, right? And how about you? What have you been drawing?
I've been drawing the little comic readers.
Do you two work together or separately?
Sometimes together, and sometimes separately.
That's a good way to do it. And what's your name, by the way?
Yeah.
Are you having fun here today?
Yes.
How about you?
Yeah.
That's terrific. I'm so glad to hear it. Well, have a lot of fun. We're so happy to talk to you guys. Now we're here with Mark Parisi. You may have heard of him. And Marty Pan. And how are things going here today? Good response to the
action of the kids? It's been very good. I wasn't sure because it was the first one. Trying to promote a new event. I don't know how it's going to go, and it's nice that it's happening. People are going to come, or people are going to enjoy it. But it's been like this pretty much the whole time. Just a lot of people going on, and books are selling, and people next to me are selling things. So it's been a ton of
fun. All right. Welcome. You're here with Joe and Christian. Tell us a little bit about your work.
So all of my stories are about obscure black history. So I have four books out. The first one was Strange Fruit, Volume 1. It had 9 stories of obscure black history. The second one was Tales of the Talented Tenth, Volume 1, which is the story of Bass Reeves. It was the most successful U.S. martial in history. The third one was the story Tales of the Talented Tenth, Volume 2, which is the story of Lester Stringfield, who was a black woman who crisscrossed the United States on a motorcycle 8 times in the 1930s and 40s. And my latest book is Strange Fruit, Volume 2, Why Celebrate Heroes from Black History. It has 8 stories of obscure black history.
That's excellent. So how much, you've spent a lot of time just doing the research about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is research, and I think the way it typically works is you spend a lot of time researching. Somebody will tell me a story, and then I'll write it down, and I'll go look it up, and I'll find as much information about that story as I can, so I can just tell people. Like this, I just found this really cool story about the slave, Jordan Anderson, who wrote this letter to, you know, I go through this whole process of, like, getting as much information as I can so I can figure out how to develop the story from there, and then I develop the stories from there.
That's a terrific idea. So for something like this, where they're looking for an educational component as well as a PR,
I'm a cartoonist, so I ask the technical question. What materials do you use to make your work?
So I'm mostly 100% digital. So I use an iPad with Clip Studio Paint, Procreate for my thumbnails and some of those finished pieces. And then I have 27 QHD, Cintiq, Wacom at home. And I work in Photoshop and InDesign and Illustrator and Clip Studio Paint.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Very welcome.
Hi, thank you all for coming. I'm Jonathan Todd, one of the co-founders of the Boston Kids Comics Fest. Thank you guys so much for coming out, and congratulations for our costume contest winners. Thank you for dressing up, you guys look great. We have about one more hour of the festival left, and before we go, I just wanted to thank some special folks. I want to give a special thank you to the leadership team of Mina Jane of the Midfield Library, and Tony Davis of the Moon Year Picnic, one of also co-founders. She's in there at his table. I'd like to thank just the generous sponsors we've had. I'd like to thank the Bethel AME Church for letting us have the first Boston Kids Comic Fest here. I'd like to thank all of the volunteers. You guys are amazing. You made this happen for us. I'd like to thank all the exhibitors. Thank you for just providing this really kid-friendly content. We'd like a special thank you to the podcasters, Pet Peeves. They do a web strip. They help put the word out. And, of course, thank you to all the attendees. Thank you so much for coming.